Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The wait is finally over and sport is back on Now TV.
It's lights out and away we go!
Where you can watch Sky Sports, Premier Sports and BT Sport together and all without a contract.
What a fantastic part.
So whether there's a day, week or whole month of action you just can't miss, you can now stream the lot.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is your sport on your terms. Search Now TV Sports to find out more. 18 plus content streamed via internet. Full terms apply.
Hello, Alistair Campbell.
Who's
so it? Glad to finally interview you. Been a big fan for a long time. Studied you at A-level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mentioned you in my
You didn't even know the answer.
Wait, what?
You got an answer about the order in council covering me and Jonathan Powell in one of your mocks or something. You didn't even know the answer.
Pretty sure I got an A in politics.
You may have got an A. But I remember you coming home saying, this was the question. I didn't know the answer.
Yeah, I remember that really well when you were a question.
Also, Anna, who looked after you when I was never at home and created all these massive psychological problems that you've got.
Thank you.
She sent Mum a message saying that her daughter has just done an essay and she quoted me as saying something. She sent it to Mum, but I don't remember saying it at all.
Was it something you said in politics?
Yeah.
What was it?
Grace
is my favourite child that I've ever met.
No, if you don't feed the beast, it eats you or something.
God, that's deep, isn't it?
I mean in the media, the feral beast. Anyway, I'm not going to rebut
Anna's I bet you did daughters. Say that.
Probably said something like it. I don't know where I said it. But, yeah.
Maybe you tweeted it.
Maybe. No, I don't think I'd have tweeted that. Because one of my thinking is when I was doing that job is I never really wanted to make the media think they were that powerful. So I tended to talk them down.
Sort of like, what's that thing that guys do to... Negging. You know that thing?
Negging.
Where it's this thing that pick-up artists, men who train other men how to get women, right? Incels, you know, men who can't get women.
Mm.
One of the things they say is what you should do with a woman is you should put her down and then compliment her straight afterwards.
Okay.
So you say something really mean and then you say, you have nice arms.
Mm.
And it's meant to... And it's obviously all bullshit, but that's like what you did with
that's
the
media.
That's
a really dumb question. That's a really interesting question. Is that how it works? I don't know.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here. So I guess, you know, it's Thursday, we're recording this. PMQs yesterday. For once in my life, I actually watched the whole thing.
Okay.
Not even live. I watched it at midnight last night.
On the iPlayer.
On the iPlayer. Wait. And I thought, God, isn't this like, just honestly, like politics porn, you know? Watching Keir take down Boris Johnson. Not actual porn.
Oh, I see.
But like,
you
know, food porn, politics porn.
Oh, I got it, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
In other words, you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it a lot. It made me happy.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And that's Keir's. He's now done 4 Prime Minister's questions, 2 against Dominic Raab, 2 against Johnson. And I'd say he's won them all. And yesterday, he destroyed Johnson. But my worry is that, Mum was saying this earlier, Johnson doesn't seem to care.
I don't know, I really think he did yesterday.
But then, and then Keir wrote to him afterwards, you know, the point about, he raised the point, I've been banging on about this for ages, this thing about the advice that went to care homes, that it's highly unlikely you're going to get infected there. That remained the advice for weeks, even as it was being raised. And Johnson stands there at the dispatch box in the House of Commons where you're meant to be held to value principle of truth. And he says, that's not what it said. Well, it did. And then when Keir wrote to him afterwards, Johnson wrote back, still defending himself. I mean, I'm afraid it's the whole Trump thing. Just, you know, double down and never apologise, never admit, never explain. Yeah, so why did you think Keir was good?
I thought Keir was good because you can just tell he's such a good lawyer. He's a really good case maker. And he just, you knew that whatever point he started making, he would back everything up. Whatever Boris Johnson said back to him, you knew he was going to be able to come back with a really good... Like, I love that bit where Boris Johnson sort of spun it and made it out like Keir Starmer was talking all about, you know, the figures that were being released every day. And then he was like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you've gone from releasing the data every day to suddenly not because you know...
It's crap.
Yeah, that you don't want people to see it. I just thought he did a really good job at making Boris Johnson look weak. And that is something that I do think, even though Boris Johnson will play the game of like, this doesn't bother me, I'm going to reply to this letter with my awful handwriting. His penmanship, I mean...
Very poor penmanship. Probably better than mine, to be frank, Grace.
It was like a four-year-old.
I also noticed that he calls him Sir Keir. That's obviously part of their sort of spiel, that Keir's kind of some part of the establishment. It was this old Etonian Bullingdon Club knobhead, isn't it?
How did he go to Eton? I presume they'd make sure that you leave Eton with amazing handwriting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Especially then.
I don't know. I think Keir's got quite a good signature. Signatures are important. I'll tell you the other thing about Prime Minister's questions. I know that there's two things I'd say about it from yesterday. The first is that it's obvious Johnson can't really operate without all that noise behind him of those ridiculous backbenchers cheering every word he says. And the second thing is, even though won't be millions of people who watch it, I can remember when we were around and Tony was both leader of the opposition and prime minister, I used to call prime minister's questions a strategic anvil. It's where you're hammering out strategy over time. And that's what I think Keir's doing. He's showing what sort of leadership is going to be and he's showing what sort of arguments he's going to build. Whereas Johnson's just treating it like another kind of, you know...
Yeah, and that's what dinner. I mean. That will sort of really start to show if Keir slowly rises in the public's perception of, like, his ability to lead and Boris Johnson sort of stays the same, which is what it feels like he's going to do because he just... He's so full of himself, he doesn't think he'll ever need to change as a part-time Prime Minister. And that will just really start to balance out. Also, who is cutting Keir Starmer's hair?
Why has it been cut?
It looks just gorgeous.
Really?
Just, I mean, sorry, Dad, but...
I think my hair's good.
Your hair's looking good, but Keir has a really full head.
He's big on the gel, isn't he?
But he's obviously getting it cut. I wonder if
Vix
is doing it.
No, I bumped into Vicky the other day, Keir's wife.
Keir's wife, she's lovely.
She's lovely, yeah.
Gorgeous,
I
great
she
hair.
She might have popped up in the 2-part documentary on the Royal Free. Did you see it?
Did she work at the Royal Free?
The Royal Free, yeah.
Was she a doctor?
No, but the documentary was absolutely brilliant for the Royal Free. And
Channel 4, right?
No, it was BBC 2. It was two nights, two consecutive nights. And there's a couple of the people I know who were...
Because you're such a regular.
Well, I'm quite a regular, as you know. Well, you're a regular. You were born there.
Yeah, but that's not
and
being a regular.
Probably one of the most regular visitors to A&E when you've, like...
No, I'm not.
Got a bit of a sore finger or something.
No, when I had a dry mouth is when I went to A&E.
Yeah, well, you're a bit of a hypochondriac. I am a regular, I'll give you that. I've had a few operations there. I had that ridiculous night when I...
When you fainted, when you saw Rory with a...
I saw Rory with a needle in his arm. That was a medical needle, not a drugs needle. but it was really, really good. And it just showed you, when you see these ridiculous government briefings day after day and they give this impression about everything's under control, then you see just what those people are having to do on a kind of minute-by-minute, hour-by-hour, day-by-day basis. And it was fascinating as well to watch the different characters. And obviously, I mean, what it was like getting the permissions for filming and
But that's what
release.
I was thinking, like, I can't believe people are being filmed while they're going through that,
some
like, most...
Some people want it to be recorded in a way, I think.
I know, but it would make me, even me, who like adores attention and cameras on me, I could not, with tubes going in and out my body, well, like actually I'm gasping for breath. Mm. It was people in intensive care.
One of whom's now dead.
Oh, God.
So his family must have given the permission. And another one who, funny enough, the guy who died, I thought was going to live, and the guy who lived, similar age, both Jewish guys, he lived. And actually it was quite a sudden kind of turnaround in his, he honestly thought he was kind of on a really steep decline. But it was just fascinating to watch the and this thing that really, it's always annoyed me, this thing about people going about the NHS bureaucrats, the pen pushers. The place doesn't run without those people. There was a bit where they were literally running out of oxygen, and the kind of main admin person was out there with a technician sort of who was explaining. They had to build a new thing to get more oxygen in.
Wow.
So yeah, it was amazing television, and I'm pleased for the Royal Free, because those things are a risk, you know, getting, not knowing what's going to happen and getting a fly on the wall documentary team in there. It's a risk.
Especially in the midst of it happening.
Absolutely, yeah.
When did they start filming it? Do you know?
Right at the start of the when it became obvious it was serious. And then, so the thing was tracked through lockdown day one, lockdown right. day five, and through to the end. It was really good television, really good television. Probably the best thing I've seen on the...
On the crisis.
Yeah, the panorama was good. The BBC panorama about how useless the government's been, which the BBC didn't.
Yeah, but I just selfishly find that stuff so intense to watch, and it actually is really bad for my anxiety. Mm. I don't know.
So you're happy with Keir?
I am.
You haven't changed your view. I got one or two complaints last week about your very bad language about Boris Johnson.
Oh, give a shit.
No, give a shit. J'adore.
Je déteste. Je déteste. Je déteste Boris. No, j'adore Keir. Je déteste Boris.
D'accord.
C'est français. No, I like, you know what, and I've actually always said this, actually, and I know I was wrong about Jeremy Corbyn, big time wrong, 100%, 180 wrong, but I've always liked Keir, and I've always thought, I mean, obviously I would have loved for it to be a woman, but I'm so happy he's the leader right now. It does make me feel more settled. Mm. Everything else is unsettling, but if we still had Corbyn, I'd feel sick.
Oh, yeah.
Watching PMQs right now.
Yeah. No, Keir has definitely started well. And he's obviously doing his own thing. There's lots of other people are saying to him, be more aggressive, be nastier about the Tories. You know, the Momentum lot are trying to kick him for... They were actually doing sort of hashtag forensic. The
I know, like bore off, honestly. You know what I watched last night, which I love, was the Michelle Obama documentary?
Yeah, I watched it. I watched that with Mum.
I found that really interesting. And I guess it's, you know, when we're talking about wives of world leaders... And how, you know, I read the book, I love the book, I love her. And there's this bit where her brother says this line where he says, you know, it's so annoying when your sister is the most popular person in the world. And it's like, she really is.
She is amazingly popular, yeah.
Yeah, she's incredibly popular.
I didn't like the film that much. I thought there was something about it that it didn't sit right with me. I think it was, I'll tell you what it was. Because I've done those book tours, right? And you do end up saying the same thing again and again. But I hated the way that, they clipped, when she was telling stories, they clipped it from different nights when she was obviously telling the same story. And it just, I don't know why, she's obviously an incredibly authentic person, but the artifice of the film just started to irritate me.
I understand that, but then I sort of, that never bothers me, because I feel like that's why her storytelling in those live events was so kind of perfect, because that's a trait of a great stand-up, where you tell a story like it's the first time you're telling a story, but you've perfected how to tell the story.
Yeah.
I do know what you mean, but I thought it was like all of the stuff where she was going into these sort of communities and just talking to loads of young black girls who just sort of wanted advice from her and wanted to hear her tell her story. And I just think that's amazing. You know, every time she comes here, she goes to, what is the school called?
Islington.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called now, but she always goes there.
I need to, and she's just really, like, really sort of loyal to, like, helping young teenage girls. Oh, yeah, no, totally.
She's obviously, listen, to see her and Barack Obama and now look at what they've got now is just horrific. I wonder whether, if she did, she's obviously not going into politics, but I wonder if she did, whether she'd be able to maintain that level of popularity. Because I think once you become a politician as opposed to a political figure, which is what she is, I think it becomes a lot harder. And what It's just interesting to think how Trump would go for it.
But it is, but also it's so perfectly clear that she's trying to say to the world, I'm not doing that. I mean, that's what I thought that documentary was. It was her being like, thank God I'm not in politics anymore, because now I can talk about the things about. And it was interesting, you know, the way they sort of showed the way that the right-wing media in America portrayed her during the campaign, which I obviously didn't notice at all, because I was really young, and also I don't think we all weren't watching Fox News, but the way they painted her as this, like, angry black woman.
Oh, I remember that vividly.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And she did change. She did change, there's no doubt about it. She adapted and changed. But I think where
she is now...
Which must
have been really annoying.
Well, it is annoying when you've got those people after you the whole time.
Yeah.
I see that, talking to Keir, I noticed they're starting to get into stuff with Keir. There was this film that did the rounds that was clearly fake, false editing to make it look like something it wasn't.
So the thing about the Rochester...
Rotherham. Yeah. The sex abuse stuff. They're going to do all that with Keir. But that's the other thing. I'll tell you what I really like. Sorry to go back to Keir.
Love him.
No. I just want Labour to get back in power and get rid of these awful Tories. But I tell you what I really like is I can tell when Johnson is doing PMQs, he's always looking over. And Keir's look doesn't change. I reckon he'd be quite good at poker. And my sense is that Johnson's not stupid.
What do you mean he's looking over?
I think he's almost looking over like he wants his approval. Or he wants to sort of...
Right.
He wants to be, you know, you and I are the big two now, and let's sort of get on. And Keir just kind of has this very steely look. I was doing this interview yesterday with David Dimbleby for a documentary he's doing.
J'adore David Dimbleby.
Oh, yeah, you love him, don't you? J'adore. Because he looked after you that night when we had the John McDonald.
Seb Corbyn rejected me.
Yeah. And anyway, I said that my favourite ever headline about Tony Blair when I was working for him was an Australian magazine, and the headline was Nice Kind of Bastard. And I just think Keir maybe has a touch of that. Nice, but hard.
Yeah, but that's what... It's that composure as well, that, like, when he speaks, there's something really endearing about him, and you can tell he's not a bad person, but he's firm. Mm. And when I was watching PMQs yesterday... Like, it's so obvious that he was such a good lawyer, because he speaks, like, in the films when you see a sick lawyer. Like in Quiz, you know, Helen McCrory's character in Quiz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he speaks like he's an amazing lawyer, and you just really listen to him. And that's just the best sort of training to then go and do PMQs, because he can hold his own. And I just thought Boris Johnson was really crumbling yesterday.
It will be interesting when they get back with sort of the noise and the theatre and all that rubbish. So, should we talk about... Telly.
So I've been watching this show called The Eddie.
I've been watching The Eddie.
I watched it first, but that's not a problem. I actually recommended it to you.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You're on episode 7 and I'm on episode 2.
Yeah, but we won't do no spoilers, but j'adore. L'Eddie. J'adore.
I'm finding your j'adore quite irritating. It's not as irritating as 100%.
You know what I'm going to say?
What?
J'adore. Like, I'm not getting rid of it. This is what I do. I rinse catchphrases. Last year it was kisses. I said kisses all
kisses,
the time.
Kisses? I don't remember that.
I said, well, that's because you haven't got a good memory. I said kisses all the time. Now it's j'adore. It will be annoying some people, but a lot of people on my social media are j'adoring it. And then they also like je déteste.
Is j'adore the verbs? Is j'adoring?
So it's like, you know how I always say love? Like when I love something, I just say love.
Mm.
If you were wearing a really nice jumper, which is rare, and you said, Grace, what do you think of this jumper? And I say,
this is
love.
As well.
That's basically what I've translated, just saying love. J'adore. I love.
But is it because you're doing these moderately funny videos as a French person with fake subtitles?
Yeah.
They do make me laugh a bit.
A bit?
A little bit.
J'adore. They're funnier than that.
They are funny. Who does the subtitle?
Lee. What?
They're quite funny. And I can't, because I know that you're not very good at French,
I am good at French.
I can't work out whether you actually do think that's what they say or whether that's part of the joke.
No, so the joke, firstly, I am good at French. Thank you very much.
Great.
Are you joking? Do you know, when me and my boyfriend...
When my boyfriend and I, but anyway.
Yeah, I'm not good at English, I'm good at French. Mon petit copain et moi, nous arrivons à Marseille l'été dernier.
L'été dernier.
L'été dernier, shut up.
Well, do you want to learn French or not?
I said we have different accents.
No, we have different. What you thought is l'été, summer. Is it masculine or feminine?
Féminin.
No, it's masculine.
Okay, masculine.
So it's not dernière, it's dernier.
Dernier. L'été dernier. Nous arrivons à Marseille. Et nous mangeons dans un restaurant. Et mon petit copain, j'ai jamais dit que je parle français.
D'accord.
Il savait pas.
D'accord.
Et j'ai parlé avec le waiter.
Le serveur.
And my boyfriend was very impressed.
He's obviously quite easily impressed anyway. Otherwise, you know.
No, because he doesn't speak French, but he had no idea I speak French.
So you might be speaking anything.
No, but I was having a clearly very intelligent conversation with this waitress.
Your French is okay, but...
Detest.
But no, let's not pretend that it's kind of, you know... It's like Tony Blair used to think his French was as good as mine. It was like...
I'm not saying it's as good as yours. I'm saying it's better than most people from England. Anyway, the thing is, you're very good at French, which you don't show off that much, apart from when you're in France. You are good at French, I'll give you that. But I'm also good.
You're quite good. Watching subtitles, though, like with the Eddie, there's bits of it where I do actually have to read the subtitles. When they're speaking over each other and when they're... Because the musicians have got quite interesting dialects. And that guy Elliot, the guy in the main character, is he American?
Yeah.
In real life?
In real life, yeah. He was in that film Moonlight.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And the daughter, Julie,
yeah,
who's unbelievably pretty.
All right, pervert.
She's gorgeous, yeah.
They're American.
They're both American.
Yeah.
And what about Maya, the singer?
She's Polish.
Ah, okay. Both in the film and in the real?
Yeah. I think so. I'm pretty sure she's Polish. I was looking on her Instagram. She's gorgeous as well.
Good singer.
Mm.
And they're all musicians, yeah?
I think so. I mean,
it's hard to tell.
If anyone listening hasn't watched it, it's like this really real and sort of raw show of it. And every episode is about a different character in the show, but it's all based around this jazz bar in Paris, which is going through problems. I don't want to say much because what happens in the first two episodes, it really gets going. But it's really raw. Like, there are bits that the sort of arguments that they have, it feels like they're properly scrapping.
Yeah. And I think because they're big characters and you get that I know quite a lot of musicians, and they, you know, that thing about, I think particularly at that level, they're not like top musicians. They would like to be. They're good musicians, but they're playing in a struggling jazz club. But the kind of sense of both competition and camaraderie, and then when you throw in some of the dramas that are involved. I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying the kind of language mix as well, which I presume is them. I presume that's Netflix's way of appealing to different markets.
Yeah, but also it is a show about jazz in Paris. And obviously one of us has lived in Paris. C'est moi, Javita. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that is, you know...
You didn't adore.
No, I didn't adore. No, je déteste. But I like watching Paris, and I like seeing all those different areas of Paris and Les Banlieues, you know, the sort of outskirts. It's really a cool show, and it's made by the guy who made La La Land and Whiplash. Mm.
Whiplash was awesome.
Oh, j'adore.
Anyway, that's enough j'adoring.
Okay, c'est fini.
D'accord. Il n'y a plus de j'adore.
Ok. C'est fini. J'adore.
100% as the last j'adore.
J'adore.
We haven't talked about football.
We can't. Dad, there's nothing going on.
Grace, this podcast is called Football.
I know.
Feminism.
Okay. You tell me one thing about football. I'll tell you one thing about feminism. Go.
One thing about football. And okay, so today I did the Jeremy Vine show. His TV show, and I didn't realise, you see right there is the shirt I wore when I played with Maradona that I never talk about. Because the sun was coming through that window, at the last minute the TV people said, could I just move my camera round to the left? So I didn't realise it was, like, you see the angle with it's on now, it was straight into that. So it looked like I was setting myself up just with the...
Oh, they wanted you not to show it?
No, they wanted me not to be near the window.
But were they saying...
No, they didn't even say anything. To be in the shots. So if you look at the shots, the Maradona shirt's in the background. But anyway, as you know, I've got this little sort of WhatsApp group with the Ashleys at Burnley. Barnsley and Westie. And
Barnes... You got, can I just say one thing, just for people listening? It's actually not a WhatsApp group, it's a text message group. But he calls it a WhatsApp group.
Is it different?
Well, it's not on WhatsApp.
Yeah, but you know what?
It's on iMessage.
Okay, right, okay.
But I know, I'm really happy for you that you found some friends. Like, I'm really overjoyed. But it's
so
it's
anyway,
a message group.
When, yeah. when I was on the Jeremy Vine last time, Ashley Westwood spent the whole time sending me messages saying he really thought Jeremy Vine needs to get a new shirt designer and get some decent shirts that aren't sort of all stripy and colourful. And today it was Ashley Bard. So at one point I was talking and the phone pinged and I thought I'd put it on silent, but I hadn't. And it pinged onto the screen, and so they heard it in the studio. And it was, I could see out there, it was Ashley Barnes saying, tell Jeremy that shirt's even worse than the last one. So fair play to Jeremy. He was quite excited to know that Ashley Barnes and Ashley Westwood were watching his programme. Actually, Ashley Westwood wasn't watching that because he was doing his gym work, by the way.
Right, okay, that's good to know.
Have we got enough Ashley's?
Ashley Westwood was actually working out.
Yeah, Ashley Barnes is still, he's still sort of, you know, he's technically still injured.
Right, so he can't be doing the gym stuff.
Well, he's doing some stuff, but he's not doing the full-on gym
work
that Ashley W was doing.
So it's just Alistair and the Ashleys. Sounds like a band.
So that's my football story today.
J'adore.
Okay.
What's my feminism story?
We talked about feminism on the programme.
What did you say?
Well, somebody had said, a woman had said that high heels were like, made women look like birds and they were anti-feminist, which I didn't understand. But Storm, who's Jeremy's co-presenter, she is a really good dresser, and normally in the studio she's always kind of quite, you know, glammed up, but actually because she's behind the desk socially distancing and all that, so she put her foot up on the on the desk, and she was wearing what looked to me like kind of Doc Martens.
Oh really?
Quite smart.
Because she didn't want to wear heels. Was she agreeing with the feminist woman?
She was saying she thought feminism meant you had a choice. If you want to wear high heels, you wear high heels.
That's what I agree with.
Yeah.
I think when women start getting angry at other women for what they wear, it's like, that's just not what feminism is supposed to be. You're supposed to just be all on the same team.
Yeah, give it a break.
Yeah, it just gets a bit lame, doesn't it, when you're policing what women can and can't wear.
Yeah.
I just think... Women are obviously more fashionable than men in the sort of grander scheme of things.
You think so?
I do think so. Yeah. But that's also because they are blessed to be able to wear more.
Mm-hmm.
Men, you know, you get a suit, you get what, at best, a kilt.
Tracksuit bottoms.
The kilt, you're pretty high up on the fashion ladder because you go to all these GQ events, little GQ events, wearing a kilt, and people are like, that's a fashion statement. They don't know that's actually just, you know, it's what you wear.
No, it's also because I hate wearing black tie.
And it's, you know, it's your culture, it's the bagpipes, it's what you do, and it's what you grew up wearing kilts.
We had a laugh the other day, didn't we, doing workout with the bagpipes?
Oh, that was funny. And the neighbours were all watching. Mm. I've been, we're hearing some neighbours really going for it. Heard a neighbour really shouting at some builders other day.
Somebody filmed it,
yeah. He was really...
Well, he's absolutely right.
He's not actually.
Why?
Because it's not the builder's fault that the client, whoever he's doing the building for, has insisted they carry on working during this time. It's not the builder's fault. They're contracted to be working. This guy was shouting at these poor builders.
Yeah, this was before the easing of this lockdown thing.
No, it wasn't. It was on Monday.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
This guy was screaming at these builders going, I've got to do my job. And it's like, just put headphones on. You can't come out and shout at these builders who have been paid far less than you. You're living in a massive house in Hampstead. It was honestly embarrassing. The video is embarrassing.
Yeah, I guess. But I get the thing, because you know what I'm like with noise. I just can't stand it.
Yeah, but that's why you put headphones in. This is just like, be a big grown-up here.
Yeah. There's been quite a lot of key worker building going on, though, I'd say, around here.
I'd say so.
Quite a lot
but that's
key worker basement work going on.
Yeah, but that's because middle-class people think that they... are better.
Yeah,
and that they think that the rules don't apply to them.
Not like
those
working class people, eh, Grace?
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that is because, you know, there are all of these posh people who are like, well, I still need to get my lawn mowed and I still need to get the cracks in the ceiling painted and I need to get new blinds, actually, while this is happening.
Yeah.
And actually, I need a cleaner.
I should just tell people what happened. I've got quite a lot of framed sports memorabilia, and a friend of mine is at Real Madrid, got Cristiano Ronaldo and all the Real Madrid squad to send me a birthday shirt signed with all their names. So it was on that wall over there, and it literally just fell off the wall one day.
So weird.
And it's taken a bit of the wall out.
Yeah. Do you think it was Cristiano Ronaldo's sort of energy somewhere?
Well, do you think he's got negative or positive?
I think he's got negative energy.
Yeah. Saw Per Mertesacker on the Heath the other day. Who's that, Grace?
Dua Lipa was on the Heath the other day.
Was she?
Yeah.
Did you bully her?
No, I wish I was there. I would have been like, hey, babes. Love you.
So, gratitude. My first gratitude this week is my Tree of the Day competition. See, like this morning, we went out for a walk, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was seeing the same trees again and again. I thought, well, I can't give another gold medal to that one. So what I did was, I picked
You're
a tree.
You're so democratic.
I picked a tree that I like, but it's not quite gold. So I awarded it bronze, and then I put a thing on Twitter about, I'm not going to give this one gold. I'm going to give gold and silver to other people today. So send in your pictures. And honestly, some of the pictures are incredible.
Can I just say two things? So, firstly, I love how sort of giving you are, and you don't want to Kim Jong-un the tree.
Well, listen, I've won most of the gold medals.
No, but I'm saying you don't want to give the same tree gold too many times.
No.
Whereas, like, Kim Jong-un would probably be like, this is my tree, and yeah. I'm giving this all the awards that it should get, because it's mine. Secondly, when you and my mum are going on these walks yeah. around Hampstead Heath, is she sort of absent-mindedly listening to you decipher which one's going to be gold? Does she engage or does she just switch off?
Not much. She sort of pretends to be interested.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Yeah, I go look at that. She was interested the other day because one of a previous gold medalist, which is a copper beach up by the pond where we saw the person swimming, it literally fell over in the wind and it's dead.
Oh.
So that's really sad. So I gave it a posthumous gold medal. So that's actually a two-time medalist.
It's really nice of you.
Yeah. But anyway, these pictures are coming in and it's making me think. I know you take the piss and you think I'm stupid. I think there's a...
I don't think you're stupid.
I think there's a global TV event in this. So true, my tree of the day. I'm loving it. Second thing is my bagpipes. I'm loving my bagpipes. I'll be playing them again tonight at the 8 p.m. clap. I've been playing them. I've been writing new tunes, which I've not done for ages. So I'm loving that. And then I think the third thing is probably, as you know, Grace, since the 27th of May,
2006,
every day since then, I have mentioned to somebody the fact that I played football with Diego Maradona on that day. And
it was 2 days after your birthday.
Yeah. So I'm actually, as we come up to the anniversary, to the 14th anniversary of this great event.
14.
So 14 times 365 is whatever. That's how many times I've mentioned that I played with Maradona. I've written about it extensively. I've spoken about it. And so I'm actually grateful for the fact that I played football with Maradona.
That is such a humble brag. I love it.
Yeah.
You're grateful for the fact that you played football with Maradona.
Yeah, I am.
Good.
I have continuing, ongoing pleasure about that fact.
That's very good.
Funniest thing I saw on social media this week was Gazza, who also played in that game.
I remember. He was on the England team, though.
Yeah, wearing the wig of somebody else who played in my team, David Ginola. And it was really funny. It was Gazza at training pretending he was Ginola.
What, an old photo?
Yeah, no, right. It was Phil. It was hilarious.
Oh, my God, I love
Gazza.
That.
Gazza, j'adore.
Gazza, j'adore.
Ginola, j'adore.
Huh? Ginola, oui, yeah. J'adore.
Maradona, j'adore.
I adored the Maradona documentary. Just loved it. Mm. Didn't really know that much about him. He's a mad person.
Yeah, we like mad people.
Yeah, j'adore. No, we j'adore them.
Saddest part of the week was postponed, finally agreeing that my book's not coming out until September.
Yeah.
It's now and out. It's official. It's official.
Bien.
Très bien.
Yesterday, it was my friend Jack's birthday, and I went and drove around and just waved at him from his window. And that made me really happy. But it made me really sad because I really miss my friends.
Good, you've been really good, haven't you?
But I'm grateful for my friends. And I'm so excited for this to be over and for us to all be together because we're going to have so many hugs and we're just going to have so much fun. So I'm grateful for them and just how connected we've all been in this period. I'm grateful for sleep. I'm sleeping a lot. I had this sleep last night, and I know this has been sensitive because you have sleep troubles, but had this sleep last night and I woke up and I felt like I've been asleep for a week. My third one is...
having a dad to do a podcast with.
No, because you haven't said me once yet, so I'm not saying you.
Okay.
I'm afraid.
Okay.
I'm really enjoying...
What about if I promise to say you next week?
If you promise to say me next week, I'll say you next week, for
sure.
So you
won't do it this week?
No, because it's kind of... It's a transaction that needs to happen on the same day.
You don't trust me to do it.
I find it unlikely that you'll do it, because you wouldn't say that. I don't think that you're grateful for me. Because you see me as a sort of burden.
No, not a burden.
But you wouldn't want to say to the world, oh, grateful for Grace, because you like this joke that... I'm just a scrounger and, you know.
Yeah. You see, the Selfridges gig, is that a rent situation or is we still rent-free?
No, it's for charity.
Oh, we've got the charity card on that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. Okay, mental health charity, so even better.
Okay.
You know, it's a personal cause of yours, yeah, so yeah. You know, you're doing charity as well. In me doing charity, you're doing charity. My third grateful list is medication. Citalopram, loving. Makes me happy, like, thank God for it.
Mm-hmm.
Makes my mind even. Antihistamine.
Mm-hmm.
This hay fever would be a fucking nightmare without my antihistamine. And then CBD oil really helps my anxiety.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm happy for herbal remedies.
Right. Well, citalopram's not very herbal.
Citalopram.
Mm.
Why did you give me a dirty look when I said that? This is mental health stigma taboo, breaking
no,
the taboo.
No, I didn't give you a dirty look.
You did.
No, you're. What's that thing? You're projecting.
Projecting. No, I don't give myself dirty looks. At all.
No, I'm very grateful to medication.
Yeah.
Every you day, should be. Whack it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you take it in the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as I get up.
Good for you. That's really
the other
good.
Day, I had a bit of a senior moment where I took it. And then the other thing I take every morning is my asthma inhaler, where I do this thing through a spacer. I do 5 deep breaths. And so I took my antidepressant, then I did my asthma thing, and then I took another antidepressant.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I did the thing. So one of the things I take is this multivitamin thing that you have to chew. And I chewed that, and then I chewed my antidepressant.
Because
I chewed, and it was disgusting. Mm. Anyway, loved that.
Very good.
Bonjour.
J'adore. J'adore. Tu See? Adores. Il adore. Nous adorons. Nous
adorons. La mer.
La mer.
A freshly painted room deserves that finishing touch. A fresh new window blind from Acme Blinds. 100% family owned and guaranteed Irish at Acme Blinds, we're back to work safely manufacturing stylish and affordable window coverings for homes, schools and businesses nationwide. Our inspirational showrooms are now open and at Acme Blinds we make your family's safety our priority. See Facebook and acmeblinds.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.